If my voice goes away, I'll make hand signs. We're in Ephesians 5, and we're looking at Paul's declarations, how a believer is to live. In the early verses of chapter 5, Paul calls us away from the darkness of sin. We're to no longer practice or have a lifestyle of fornication, uncleanliness, or covetousness. We're not to be known for these sins as Christians. We're to be known for doing good and for loving one another and loving God. Paul even tells us, no coarse jesting. Now, I kind of wondered what that meant. But have you ever found yourself with someone who would turn all conversation into sexual overtones? That might be considered coarse jesting. Paul tells us those who practice these sins will not have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. And so, stay away from people of darkness. Now, that's good advice. We like to give that advice to our children. You know, I would tell my kids, you know, you want dad to say yes to your activity? Choose your friends well. And we're not to have fellowship with people that bring us down or people of darkness. And verse 12 speaks of how it is shameful to even listen or speak of their sinful behavior. So we pick up in Ephesians 5, verse 13 this morning, and I'll read 13 and 14 here. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 13 says, as children are light, we're to expose sinful behavior. Now, we live in a world where it's news media conscience, and it seems like everyone's trying to tell us how to live. Did you notice the COVID epidemic, how everybody seemed to fall into order from the government's edicts, get vaccinated, do this, do that. And there wasn't much of an outcry from people who wanted to be different. But I have seen and found out that men love sinful behavior. And I've also realized that as Christians, as saints, they hate us for exposing their sin. We're supposed to be the light of Christ. So awaken from the dullness of mind and realize Christ gives us his light. And there's a simple, worthy example. Where does darkness go when you flip on a light switch? Instantly, darkness is gone. Light overtakes darkness. And in the beginning of creation, when God created the heavens and the earth, in verse 3 of Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And here we are, thousands of years later, after the creation, and Paul declares to us, believers, walk in light. Light exposes the deeds of darkness. And if ever we needed to be examples to a world that seems to be caught up in evil behavior, it's today. No wonder the carnal world hates us as children of light. For we make manifest to the world its darkness. Paul quotes in verse 14, Isaiah the prophet, Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Have you ever wondered why most crimes are done at nighttime in darkness? Criminals committing crimes seek to be hidden by the darkness of night. Now I'm going to go back and tell you a personal testimony. About 20 years ago, I was a mere child. No, about 20 years ago, I had a neighbor two doors down from me who hung drywall as a contractor. In between us was an old farmhouse. And my neighbor asked if this new hired help of his could stay in this dilapidated old farmhouse. And I agreed, when things went okay for a while. But then one morning, my truck was missing from my garage. I had a habit of leaving the keys in the truck, but it was in my garage. So I called my neighbor, the drywall guy, and asked him, "Hey, did your help steal my truck?" He said, "It's very possible." And I got more of a background on the guy then. Next, I called the sheriff, and they filled out a stolen truck form, and the sheriff asked me, "Do you have any suspects?" "Yep, sure do." And I told the sheriff about the guy that lived next door, and he hadn't been seen lately. Well, the sheriff asked me, "Did you see him do anything?" I said, "Nope. You asked if I had suspects. He's a suspect." The man hadn't shown up for work for a few days. And meanwhile, me being a Christian man, I'm praying for justice. I want justice. And I said, "Lord, you know I think this guy stole my truck." Lo and behold, the next couple of days, the fellow shows up next door. I go and get my pistol, put it in my coat pocket, and I'm thinking about going next door and confronting this guy. Now, I had discovered that he had just been released from jail, and wisdom said to me, "Better let the sheriff handle this one." So wisdom prevailed, and the man moved out. Insurance paid me for the truck, and it was a forgotten episode. Well, not really. The story continued. What did Paul Harvey say? As the world turns or something like that. But anyway, the sheriff came to my house about a month later, and he told me my truck had been found. Oh, good. It was wrecked, tore up. And he said, "By the way, you were right about your neighbor stealing your truck. A couple of nights ago, we shot and killed him. And he was caught in a robbery. He shot at the cops, and they returned fire and killed him. And now I'm being grateful that I didn't confront this guy. He was a killer. I was not. But I remember my prayers for justice. Lord, I want justice." And now he was killed in a shootout by the cops in the middle of the night, in the middle of darkness. And my suspicions, they were true. But now the neighbor, the thief, was dead. And I was right about him, but he was still dead. And now here's the sad part. And he's probably in hell because he was shot and killed while trying to kill police or the sheriff. He was killed in the act of a robbery. And the justice that I had prayed for was complete. But I wasn't happy. I was convicted by God for seeking justice, not willing to suffer wrong. I was right about him being a thief, but I was dead wrong about wanting justice. And there was no comfort in being right. Perhaps I should have attempted to be a light to this man of darkness. Ex-convict, thief, robber, shooter. But good did come out of it. For a couple years later, I prayed for my neighbor and the contractor, and along with his family, to receive Christ. And I thought, well, God, you did bring good out of this. And God used the whole episode to add people to his kingdom. But it was God's mercy. It wasn't my call for justice. It was a consolation to me. A man who wanted justice got mercy. The Lord showed me that my heart was not right. And that was a little red flag. Pray and seek mercy. For justice, it can be cruel and it can be permanent. Let's continue with looking at verses 15 through 21 of Ephesians 5. And Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Paul points out to the Ephesians quite clearly how to live out a Christian life. Walking with our Lord circumspectly. Circumspectly is a careful and prudent way to live. Paul even adds, don't walk as a fool. A fool does not consider the day or the times or the results of his behavior. To live and walk as a fool, Adam Clark, a renowned Bible scholar, replies, our lives are not to be in idol worship or party life. We only have a little time. I'm an old man, and I don't feel like I've lived a full life yet. I probably have, but I don't feel that way. And all we have is time here on earth. In the Psalms, it says, life is like a vapor, a smoke. One moment it's there, the next moment it's gone. One of my constant prayers is to see the opportunity to do good works as they come into my life, not to recognize them when I'm laying in bed at night that I missed opportunities, but to see those opportunities to do good works while they're there. Us Christians live in an evil world, and it can be very evil around us when we see all the murders and killings and wars that go on. And we hear constant teachings coming upon us about the goodness of man. I think one of the biggest lies that the scientific, psychological world tries to foist upon us is man is good. Not from the evening news is he good. Man can be very evil. And the will of God and true wisdom comes by knowing God and knowing what he wrote to us in his scriptures. We are to rightly divide the word of God. We're to be conscious of the fact that the Holy Spirit of God revealing truth to us. The Holy Spirit who indwells us indwells every believer. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And he will lead us into truth. He will be our teacher, our comforter. So what should be one of our requests? Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Let me be like you, Jesus. And that is a constant daily need that we have as believers. Paul tells us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's an odd thing to say, that the Holy Spirit can indwell a man, but it's a truth of God for us. Jesus said, if I go away, I will give you a Holy Spirit. And guess what? He's just like me. So we can be filled with the very likeness of Jesus Christ. And Paul adds to a tenet to our faith. Do not be drunk with wine. Now, that sounds pretty cut and dried. Scripture openly tells us not to be drunk with wine or strong drink. You want to know what being drunk is? The Alabama Highway Patrol will tell you what drunk is. They will stop you at a sobriety stop. And if you're 0.08% blood test, you're drunk. It's that simple. So don't be drunk. It doesn't say do not drink. It says do not be drunk. And so we're to keep our wits about ourselves. Years ago, I enjoyed my beer drinking. Confession. And the Lord took away beer from me. And every time I would overindulge in drinking beer, I did something I would regret. Never failed. I would say something, I would do something, I'd go, now why did I say that? Why did I do that? Every time. And the Lord was putting his finger on. Now, he doesn't put his finger on everyone for the same thing, but he put his finger on my life about drinking beer. Now, for me to drink is wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong for you. I'm saying be drunk is wrong. That's Paul said, don't be drunk. But the truth about drinking is this. I used to say 1 in 8, but it's actually 1 in 7. Whoever indulge in drinking have a lifelong problem with alcohol. That's sort of staggering statistics. But Paul, he declares, we're not to be drunk with wine or strong drink. My mother, bless her dear departed soul, had 2 sins that would send you straight to hell. Do not pass, go straight to hell. And was drinking and womanizing. Her dad had become an alcoholic, and he had a drinking problem. Her husband, my dad, had a womanizing problem. So drinking and womanizing were dead wrong in my mom's eyes. My voice. As Christians, we're to speak and fellowship in good things to say to one another, edifying, saying, lift up one another, be an encouragement to one another. We're to be making melody in our hearts. And us Christians are to have a grateful heart, rejoicing in thanksgiving. I think one of the worst witnesses of a Christian is to be a grumpy old man or a grumpy woman. Where's the edification in that? If you are grumpy all the time, you might want to do a heart check. We only have bad or condemning things to say about our fellow man if our heart is that way. As believers, we have the truth. What a blessing that is, which should encourage us to be glad, to thank God for our heritage. And there's an easy solution to this. Perhaps you've heard it said, so turn that frown upside down. Simple, you're told that from a little child. But it's true. Look on the positive side of things. Speak edifying words to one another, encouraging one another. You know, an encouragement goes a long way when you're downcast. You remember when somebody tried to say something kind to you, tried to say something to lift you out of your doldrums. And our Lord, He is loving, He is kind, and He tells us, walk in light, not darkness. So to us, be loving as our Lord Jesus is loving. Amen. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. And you bore with me as I go through that with my voice. So let's pray. Father God, if we need to change our ways, we want to change our ways, Lord. We don't want to be considered darkness. We don't want to be considered a grumpy old man or a grumpy woman. We want to be known for edifying, lifting people up, being an encouragement. So help us, Lord. Lord, and Paul told us, be filled with the Spirit. We need your Holy Spirit in our lives to make us do the right things, to help us do the right things, Lord. So help us. Help us to be edifying and encouragement to one another. For we're all struggling somehow, some way. And if we can encourage one another, let us do that, Lord. So we pray that you would help us to do that. And Lord, we want to be obedient to your word. We want to live out your word in truth and just be obedient to what your word tells us to do and to how it tells us to live life. So help us, Lord. So we pray for these things. Ask by your mercy and grace, not justice, but by your mercy and grace that you deal with us. So help us, Lord, is our prayer. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.